Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, along with the fastest man in Northbrook, Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you. Jesse's in for Cap, and the phone line's open for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. And good morning to you guys on YouTube, youtube.com. Go right there to youtube.com, click on the ESPN 1000 channel, and boom, you're right in there. You could be able to follow along, watch all the shows, and check all the interviews on YouTube on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel. So, the story comes across yesterday. Alabama coach Brad Bohannon was fired after linked to suspicious bets. So, it's so funny because I'm involved in college baseball, you know, calling the UIC Flames baseball games. So it's just interesting, Jess, this story comes across. Because the Alabama baseball coach Brad Bohannon fired for a game against LSU 6 days ago. Sportsbook surveillance video indicated that the person who placed the bets was communicating with Bohannon at the time. Multiple sources with direct information told ESPN. So the athletic director, Greg Byrne, has initiated the termination process, among other things, for their game against LSU. Apparently somebody put down a whole bunch of money on
Alabama.
On Alabama.
Or LSU.
On LSU. In the Alabama-LSU game.
Exactly, yeah.
And then doubled down, put more money on there. And, of course, that's a red flag. Like, why is this person putting so much money down on
a random college game? I mean, there's not a lot of betting going on in college baseball. So when there are big bets, it stands out, which is good that that there are triggers that happen, right? The people are alerted. But still, Jay Hood, it leads to this question. Hmm. For every one they catch, how many are they not catching? And that you can say to any sport, like every umpire they catch, and not that they have, every NBA ref, remember they caught Donahue, how many are getting away with it? It's good that there's trigger warnings in place if there's too much bet on a game, but smart bettors on the inside will spread out the money and all that stuff. So it's a scary notion, and of course all these leagues are in bed with gambling companies. I agree with the people that criticize this thing and say, look, when you start to cross the line of integrity of the competition, you could start to lose people. You got to keep that separate.
Okay, couple of things with this.
Yeah.
First of all, the head coach Brad Bohannon, who has had a squeaky clean reputation in college baseball, nothing on Bohannon, nothing, and all of a sudden he's in on the fix. And I think one of the games in the LSU game, I think he had a starter going for Alabama, and he pulled the starter for a reliever. So that's one red flag. Like, why?
Sure.
You're a really good baseball program. You put a reliever in there. Okay. So if you put a middle reliever in, that means that there's going to be runs relinquished. It's going to happen,
yeah,
right?
Usually the starters are better than the middle relievers. Yes.
But then all of a sudden, some guy doubled down. And it started with Ohio first. The Ohio Casino Control Commission was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. Let's close this up.
Yeah.
There's something going on here.
Too much money bet on this game. That's what happens.
Again, unless you are Floyd Mayweather or Mattress Mac, okay? They can understand if they're putting a whole bunch of money down. But if just some rando, right? Just some guy that's just putting money down, of course, people will say, well, what's going on with this? And the idea that the head coach is part of this, that Brad Bohannon, you're getting paid well, but not handsomely like
the
other
sports. No, and
that's
why I think college sports is still the area of concern. Professional sports, why would you even come close to getting in trouble? You make enough money. Now, unless you've spent it all and you're in debt, but in general, professional athletes aren't going to take that chance. But collegiate athletes, baseball players, more likely than not, coaches, more likely than not, more likely than pros to take those chances. And here's, nowadays, a better opportunity to do it because it's legal now. I don't know if you could bet on college baseball 5 years ago, even legally 10 years ago. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Now you can.
But I did have Mizzou plus 115. that did come in yesterday, by the way. It did against Ole Miss.
Oh, my God.
It did. It helped a parlay.
Talk about rolling the dice.
What do you mean? I know what I'm doing. It's right there
on
the boat.
Good job.
But here's the thing, Jess. So when it comes to this, first of all, if I'm a neophyte gambler, I feel better about putting bets in knowing that if something fishy is going on, that's the whole thing with gambling over the years. What's fishy? Is this fixed? What's going on? Well, I feel better about it that you have Casino Control Commission saying, okay, don't worry, your bet's safe because that guy's trying to cheat the system. Don't worry, you're fine. It doesn't give me pause as a gambler. When I read that story, I still feel safe.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Fair or no?
No, it's definitely fair. What's interesting is if, let's say, you, as just some fan, placed a bet on that game, and now there's so insinuations that the game might be fixed, should you get your money back?
Like, no question.
You know what I mean? So it opens up a can of worms, which was bound to happen once they legalized sports betting. So they need to be really diligent about athletes and coaches and the whole gambling aspect.
I guess my question, Shay, is why? Why did Bohannon get himself into this? You got a good
program.
Easy.
That's why.
It's easy.
It's easy.
Hood, it's not just college baseball either. It's not. It's like when you think about a week or 2 weeks ago, we had five NFL players suspended, three of them indefinitely, two of them immediately cut for gambling on NFL games in an NFL facility, other guys betting on non-NFL events in an NFL facility. And then you have the NFLPA last week issue a warning that sportsbooks will snitch on players who are betting on those games. This is where, like, the college baseball story just kind of reframes all of that stuff into, oh, this is really happening. This is really a problem in professional sports where athletes, coaches, referees, whatever, can place bets on games and fix the outcome.
Let's put it this way. And I thought of this when the Donaghy thing went down. If you watch the documentary, he kind of implicated other people and they swept it under the rug. All of sports, think of every official, referee, umpire, every level. There's got to be at least one or two or more doing it.
Sure.
Right? There's got to be. And so are they betting with inside knowledge or are they trying to fix games? I don't know. But odds are it's all happening. It's just a matter of can they catch them or not.
So to answer your question about Indiana, the Indiana gaming regulators also were alerted to the suspicious bet with Alabama LSU in the Hoosier State. Indiana has halted betting on Alabama baseball and instructed Sportsbook to refund any future wagers on the Crimson Tide.
I hate to say this, Jay Hood, because you just won money on Mizzou. Maybe they should not have betting in college baseball.
Why?
I don't know. It lends itself to fixing a little bit more easier.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well,
I do it on college.
There's
football.
Not a lot of right. I know there's not a lot of money tied up in college baseball. I bet D1 coaches don't make that much compared to D1 basketball coaches.
How much money, Shay, can we put down on one of these games where it won't be flagged? Say we win $500 on LSU. $500.
No, that's fine.
That'll be nothing.
$1,000.
I would say
a random college baseball game.
5,000 or more. I don't know. I would say also 10,000.
Like if you're a person who's betting $1,000 a game, they know who you are. And so if you just come out of the ether and you drop a grand on a college baseball game, somebody somewhere is going, let's see what happens here, because that ain't right.
Yeah.
If you're just coming out of nowhere and doing this.
Definitely at 5 or 10, you're alerting people.
I think, like, what was it in this situation? The guy double tapped 20 grand or something.
Oh, is that how much it was?
Like, he had 40 grand on this random Bama LSU game.
Of course that's going to alert people.
Yeah, that's where, okay, let's take a look at what's going on here. NFL, you can bet whatever you want, but Jesse, you bring up, like, why college sports. Carmen Yurko always have this conversation. You can't bet Illinois college sports in the state of Illinois.
Ridiculous.
I think this is probably why, because they don't want, and I'm not saying Devin Witherspoon did this, I'm just using him as an example because he played for an Illinois school. They don't want Devin Witherspoon downloading the DraftKings app and placing bets on his own team in his own state. It's probably fairly difficult to track that.
It's that and probably influence, right? I mean, you can't go to the Northwestern game and start shouting at people, hey, you could place money elsewhere with a bookie even. And, you know, I understand why they do it. It's kind of silly. Because if you want to bet on Illinois sports, you're going to be able to do it. If you want to influence a player, you're going to be able to get to him.
Do you still have your bookie from the 90s? He's still around?
No, I don't.
Is that guy still around? No.
If he is, he doesn't have my number.
He's actually right back here with a baseball bat and a manila envelope. Right, I don't know what's going on.
Hey, Jesse, we got to go to that. We got to make a stop.
I mean, jeez.
That's my Mike Norton.
LSU won that game 8-6, by the way, that we're talking about with Alabama. So,
and the bets were on Alabama, right? Yeah. Right? Or no?
The bets on LSU.
Yeah, the bets were placed on LSU.
So,
and I think LSU was an underdog.
So we're thinking he tanked his own game. At least Pete Rose bet on his own team.
Yes. but you just knew that when Luke Holman, who was a starting pitcher, had quote-unquote back tightness, and he brought in Hagan Banks, a sophomore, who hadn't pitched since hasn't started since March 16th. Okay, there's something going on there. But then, again, that heavy money. So $20,000. Okay, how about $10,000, Shay? $10,000, does that work?
I think it alert on a college game, baseball game, I think that sets off red flags, yes.
So the 100 I put on Mizzou, they
now the question is if you can somehow spread that $10,000 out, do they? But still,
well, they won't care if you lose. If you bet $10,000 and you lose, you lost $10,000.
No,
if you bet $10,000 on some BS game and you win,
no,
they start looking.
It'll alert people before the game's even played.
They'll have an idea that you did it, but if you lose, they won't care. You just fed them
$10,000. No, I disagree. The commission will care. The Ohio Commission, whatever it is that regulates this, will care.
I'm just thinking, like, if I put $10,000 on Kennesaw State, I'm sure people would wonder why.
Maybe
Kennesaw State baseball.
I tell you, my bigger fear from all of this is how, like Jesse said, how much of this do we not realize is going on?
Yeah,
and are you concerned, Hood, as a sports fan, that the results of the games you're watching are fixed? Like when you sit down to watch your White Sox, or when we sit down to watch a Bears game.
I don't want to think that. But stories like this, if they continue, will make us think that.
We've been hearing those conspiracy theories for a long time.
We have.
But then when you get the human element, the human error of Tim Anderson, the shorthanded shortstop, letting the ball get right past him, it's like, dude, like,
come on, he's making too much money to care.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, that was an easy ground ball, and it went right past the glove. I'm like, you're Tim Anderson. Change the game? How about change the glove? How about that? Jay Moore.
You remember that Adrian Foster report when he put out that they had a script for the NFL playoffs?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Crazy, right?
But we think that was tongue-in-cheek. We're not sure.
I'm not sure with him.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because it was so deadpan. It wasn't sure.
Right.
So I guess the question is, are you concerned about how gambling affects sports? For me, it does not. First of all, I'm a careful gambler. Very careful with that. I've never thought, okay, the fix is in on this until we get empirical evidence. That's how I look at it.
I agree with you. But if stories like this keep popping up, I don't want to think about when I sit down to a game, is someone on the take, right?
Yes.
So I don't want to think that way. And I don't think we really ever have truly. But with gambling legal, it could start to go in that direction.
I can't believe that you're calling for no gambling in college baseball. I heard you say that right here.
I did say that. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I feel like the more minor the sport, the more likely it is to be tampered with. And I'm just saying, compared to college football and college basketball, there's such a spotlight in those sports that there's more. It's more likely to happen. I don't know. Can you bet on college soccer? I have no idea.
I don't hate what Jesse's saying either. If you're sweating college baseball games every night, it might be time to give the old hotline a ring.
That's not fair either.
I mean,
sweating
college baseball games, that's true degenerate behavior.
That's not fair. And you know what? And Shay Norling, you know why that's not fair. There are fans that are just fans of college athletics.
That's true.
And they build their money, like yours truly, through college athletics to get ready for the NBA season, get ready for the NFL season. So, no, I mean, some are just college guys. Alabama, LSU. What do you think that guy is betting on, or what he's watching mostly? College athletics.
You're right.
No, the coach texted him. The coach said, bet this game. That guy's not sweating college baseball.
Bet you he is.
Oh, no chance.
Wait until they go through that. You'll see all the stuff that he's bet. It's like, random Ohio U baseball on a Tuesday afternoon.
When it comes out, it's his, like, Longlock's brother-in-law. We'll know the connection there. Because that hasn't been announced, right? Revealed, right?
No.
The connection between the coach and the gambler.
It'll come out.
Friend of a friend of a friend of a friend.
Wow, that's a lot of money on one baseball game. But yeah. I understand why they're trying to do it. But you did it as a rookie, like a punk.
Yeah, you did.
You're doubling down. Guess what? He's going to fix the game for us. And LSU ends up winning the ball game 8-6. But I mean, subtle.
Right.
Subtle.
Right.
Like if you get, say, you put a grand down, a couple of grand down, right? No, not going to say anything. Next game. You want to fix the next game? Oh, no, another grand. $2,000. Right. $10,000? No, $20,000?
At a college level, for sure.
God, that's trying to get the quick fix there in that spot. A strange story developing with the Bulls. If you're a Bulls fan, stay by your listening device. Something that you may not have heard about the Bulls that you are going to need to know. That's next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, we'll crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10 o'clock, followed by Peggy and Carm from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie, right? 2 to 5, right into White Sox baseball as they take on the Reds. 5:40 start right here on the home of the White Sox ESPN 1000. Buried, Darnell Mayberry, buried in the athletic.com. A mailbag. You've done these mailbags before many times, right? Sometimes there's news out of these mailbags, you know.
You got to make a headline out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's not what happened in this one. If you go to theathletic.com, go to the Bulls section, you scroll down a little bit, someone asks a question. John L. says, the Bulls don't want to sell, they don't want to buy, so make small moves around the margins. Do you think that they'll delay or expedite the Mark Eversley and Connor Shobus firing? Although the news out of Washington is awfully interesting, the Wizards fired general manager and president Tommy Shepard last month. He lasted four seasons, only one more than Connor Shobus has been in charge in Chicago. So the most current industry standard, Connor Shobus' seat should be hot next season. But by all accounts, Connor Shobus has a good working relationship with Michael Reinsdorf, which can and likely will keep Connor Shobus through a second contract. One source said the Bulls quietly handed an extension to Connor Shobus recently as well.
That would be of interest to Bulls fans.
Deep into the mailbag, though. I mean, was that the last letter in the bottom of the bag?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, the money shot. One source said that the Bulls quietly handed an extension to Connor Shobus recently. Recently? And why? Why does he get an extension?
I'm gonna zig when you're zagging, or zag when you're zigging. I actually am okay with that. I wish they would announce things publicly. I don't think we can just play the backup quarterback thing we do in Chicago. I mentioned this earlier. You know what I mean? Like, get rid of both managers. I've heard this from both sets of fans. The next guy up. Cup fans crying for Morrell and Mervis. Like, they're gonna come up and be MVP cat. We always want the next guy. We wanted the next guy after Paxton Garr. We're the next, whoever it is. AK gets hired. We love AK. It hasn't been the smoothest couple 3 years. I agree. But I'm just going to say, instead of starting over with a new GM, I don't mind seeing him play this out. I think he knows the game. He was dealt a little bit of a weird hand with this team. He made it worse. I don't mind him getting the extension.
Hold on a second.
I know I'm in the minority.
Okay, no, I'm in the minority. But the point is, though, Jesse is...
With that opinion.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yeah. Jesse, you cannot hand out extensions like grandma hands out bad rock candy, okay, that's been sitting there for 30 years in the cocktail table. The idea that this guy has an extension, if that is true, so you can hand out an extension for third place and second place and third place, that's the 3 years that Donovan's been here. Wait a minute now. Now, I understand everything about continuity, what you said. I respect, that's pretty much what I'm saying. Well, I understand. Yeah. I understand. But you're handing it out for that? So what's your standard? You know what the standard is with the Reinsdorfs, and it's unfortunate. It's loyalty to a fault. You have to, at some point, look at the numbers. You can't say, I like you so much. I don't care if our team underachieves. La, 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 la. I don't see anything here. Hey, how's your family? And then cover my eyes up again. Cap, when I say this to Cap all the time, you cannot be loyal to a fault. You can't, Jesse. You can't do that.
No, I know that. But think about what Jerry said just as recently as this past Monday, Jerry Reinsdorf, in that conference panel he was on, when he said, fans at least want you to be playing meaningful games. Did the Bulls play meaningful games these last few years under AK? I guess so. Down the stretch, they weren't playing out the string. They were playing to get into the play-in this year. They made the playoffs last year. So he's checked off the criteria Jerry has set forth. Meaningful games.
So not good enough.
Oh, I agree with you and I and the fans. It's not good enough. But I can understand not firing him, giving him a little bit more time. I'm tired of firing and starting over. Pax and Foreman were so bad. Is he better than them? It seems like it.
He's not.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, come on, Jesse. Open your take the glasses.
So you're
off.
Saying he's
open
already as bad as Gar and Pax?
It's the same.
It's the same. All right.
Well, tell me the difference. Like, so here's what you're going to go from. You go from no playoffs to bouncing the first round to the play-in. That's success.
It's not success. I don't have a great reason behind it except for some continuity. Let's just see. Let's let him play it out. Whatever this is going to be, well, I just don't like the idea of starting over with a GM.
Then you know what? Then you are aligning yourself with the Ryan's
reference. I'm in the minority.
You're,
I agree.
You're aligning yourself with that. So again, clearly you agree with what David Sampson, the former Florida Marlins executive, said about Jerry Reinsdorf.
What was that?
You do recall this, right?
You know, Jerry Reinsdorf, when I first got into baseball, I've never told this story before, and I like Jerry very much, and I'm sorry, Jerry, but here it comes. He sat me down. I was 32 years old, just in baseball for my first of 18 years, and he said, you know what? Here's my best advice to you. Finish in second place every single year, because your fans will say, wow, we've got a shot. We're in it. But there's always the carrot left. There's always one more step to take.
Yeah, no, I've heard that, and I'm sure Jerry is not happy he revealed that, assuming it's true. No, I don't agree with it. No. All I'm saying is he can't keep firing only one team finishes in first every year. So should all second, third, fourth, fifth place teams fire their GM?
I'd be dying for fifth place. That's the point. Playing is not fifth place. That's the whole thing.
Well, you know what I mean.
Hey, baseball, where you're in the bottom of the lake, this is not what it is. I mean, they barely got in. It's a play-in.
Yeah, I just can't do it again yet.
Well, Jesse, you go from the play-in to the playoffs to the play-in. What do you think is next?
Well, at least they're not in 16th place in the conference. 15, you know what I mean?
You know what? You know what? You're so full of it. It's unbelievable.
I'm just saying I at least would give them another chance because starting over stinks.
No, well, I mean, this is pretty much the same thing, though. I mean, you have Zach LaVine and you have DeMar DeRozan. You do have viable talent on it, but what are you doing with it?
I don't know.
How do you enhance it? So that doesn't deserve an extension to me. To me, after this year, if they still underachieve, they're still in the 40s in the win total, then why does that guy deserve to still be around? Nothing's changed. You may change for the better. Loyalty hurts the Reinsdorfs. It does. And same thing with the White Sox. So the playoffs to not making the playoffs? I mean, you're going in the wrong direction.
I don't disagree. I mean, look, when you're talking about Rick Hahn or Kenny, they've been there a long time. AK hasn't been there that long to say that loyalty hurts. He hasn't been there that long. If we're going on year 15 and they haven't done anything, that's a different story.
You know, the Reinsdorfs, he will be there for 15 years if he wants it. That's how loyalty works, right?
I mean, Gar and Pax were there a long time. I don't disagree with that.
How about Matt Mervis Day? Let's talk about that.
Oh, I got stats for you. I got stats.
You
want stats?
Yeah,
I got some
numbers.
Yeah. All right. So people that don't know about Matt Mervis, right? Uh-huh. He was signed in 2020, COVID year. There were only five rounds of the draft. He gets signed. He's not a huge prospect. He's not a huge prospect. They just signed him off the street because after five rounds, you could sign anybody you want. He doesn't really do a lot in 21. He's not wowing anybody. But last year, he comes on strong. And Jay Hood, this is what I look at with minor league players.
Okay.
Because when it comes to like home runs and a lot of stats can be deceiving. Who you're playing against, the ballparks, the leagues, the minor leagues. It's very, very unclear exactly what stats matter. But what I look at is walks and strikes. Because plate discipline is plate discipline no matter where it is. The strike zone should be the same everywhere.
Sure, of course.
So listen to this just last year. Listen to this. When you have control of the strike zone, that's when you're going to come up to the majors. Last year, he starts in high A.
Yeah.
He struck out five times for every walk, right? Okay. He walks once, he strikes out five times in high A.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes to double A. So you're going up to a higher level. He strikes out 2.3 times for every walk that he takes. He's getting better.
Okay.
5.2 to 2.3. He goes to triple A. He strikes out 1.4 times for every walk. It's close.
Yeah.
This year, 18 walks to 19 strikeouts. He's mastered plate discipline in the minor leagues. That's when you know you're ready. He's got the power. Now, at least in the minors, he's got the plate discipline.
So you're saying he's Anthony Rizzo?
saying he's got traits like him.
The next Rizzo.
He's got traits like him. I'm not willing to jump there.
It's unbelievable.
It'd be amazing if he was the next
Rizzo.
I'm
sure there's already an obvious shirt for him already. Is it ready?
Mash Mervis, for sure.
It's ridiculous.
Mash Mervis.
We can't get him on the field yet before everyone started buying his merch.
PCA's probably got merch out there.
I met with the PCA. He doesn't get a nickname until he's on a major ball club. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, what if he's Kevin Ory?
All I know is that about 2:26 today, when he takes his second at bat, I guess at that point, there'll be silence on ESPN 1000 because Sylvie will be glued to the TV. Cub fans everywhere. The next Rizzo.
The director of content says, well, what are you talking about, Cubs? We got our own program. We got our own show.
Wait, way to promote the afternoon show. Hey, when Mervis is up, nobody's going to be saying anything. Tune in at 2.
Well, why don't be talking?
There you have it.
That's Danny Zetterman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't get on Jesse. This is your choice.
This is the next.
Here's the Mervis obvious shirt. Mervis Tub. Like Mazel Tov, Mervis Tov.
Oh, jeez. That's not so obvious. That's not so obvious. It's called obvious shirts for a reason.
Little Star David right there. Absolutely. That's a hot seller.
With his Star David in the middle?
You better back it up, too, by the way.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think Cub fans have unbelievable expectations that he's going to, like, save the season. Maybe wins Rookie of the Year, but, you know, more likely is some ups and downs. But I'm happy he's doing it now, so next year he's ready to rock and roll.
By the way, in the Jewish faith, do you know what Tov means?
Mazel Tov?
Yeah, do you know what Tov means?
I don't.
You don't?
I know what Mazel Tov means, you know.
It means good.
Good luck,
it means
good
very
luck,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in the business.
Just the word Tov?
Yes.
I didn't know what it means.
Okay, I've been in the business 30 years. You think I would know, right?
Yeah.
And I do. Why am I more Jewish than you?
Good question. Yes, my mom would like to know the same.
That doesn't make sense. Why do I know that? Why do I know that you don't?
I don't know.
By the way, next thing you want to ask me, where can I get a good cocktail rye? I'll help you with that later too. The Friday folder.
At the 50-50.
No. Max and Benny's. The Friday folder is coming up next on Cap and J Hood. Mazel Tov.
Here's today's headline with Cap and J Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Cubs lost yesterday to the Nationals by a score of 4-3. The Cubs are now 15-16 on the season. Mervis Tov, Matt Mervis, has been called up today for the Chicago Cubs as the Cubs take on the Miami Marlins. 1:20 start at the friendly confines.
Yep.
Jesse will be there. Justin Steele's on the mound. That might be a win for the Cubs, by the way. Justin Steele on the mound.
I would love to make the prediction they sweep the Marlins. I really would. They got swept down in Miami. Now it's their turn. They're going to go on a little run here.
You know, Justin Steele has allowed just 2 runs or fewer in every start so far for the Cubs.
Pretty good.
On his way to an all-star bid. The White Sox failed to complete. I'm going to have to find myself. I can't say complete. Complete the sweep yesterday. The Sox play the Reds today in Cincinnati. That's a 5:40 start right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. The Sox lost 7-3 to Minnesota. Golden State, they defeated the Lakers 127-100. That series is tied at 1. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Finding myself to BerniesBookBank.org since I can't say the word complete this morning. First day with my new tongue.
There we go.
Oh, I've been there a million times.
There we go. $2 for BerniesBookBank.org as we do the Friday Folder, brought to you by ETI School of Skill Trades. With more, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, let's kick it off with this story out of Vancouver. This man named Jerry Martin opened a store he's calling the Drug Store. This is a mobile shop in the downtown east side of Vancouver, a neighborhood that's been ravaged by a drugs epidemic. He said he wanted to give people a safe supply of drugs that have been tested to ensure they didn't contain fentanyl. So he was selling crack, meth, and heroin out of a mobile trailer park near Main and Cordova in Vancouver and was immediately arrested.
Yeah. I mean, maybe start with marijuana. You might get away with it. You're doing the hard stuff that way? No.
I like the name, though. It's really catchy. The Drug Store.
I mean, honey, I'm headed down to the drugstore.
It does make me think this, guys. How long before we see food trucks turning into marijuana dispensary trucks?
Oh, that's the west side.
That's got to be happening.
Don't look like that, Jay Moore. You already know that's happening.
It's the west side.
Does anyone watch The Chi?
That's already happening.
Or the South Side on HBO. Did you watch that show back in the day? Oh, my God, that's a great show.
South Side, yeah.
South Side was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So funny.
It's actually really on the nose.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
I imagine. I don't live down there, but it's funny.
It's pretty high like, on the nose. All right. What else do we have, Shay?
A giant penis has been mowed into the lawn of Bath's historic Royal Crescent just days before the coronation. One of the most famous streets in Britain. It has the quote-unquote perfect lawn. And
not
some
anymore.
Pranksters went and mowed a giant penis right into it.
You know what? Nothing wrong. That's art. Some would say that's art. Nothing wrong with that.
It's not illegal, is it?
No, it's not.
I mean, it is illegal, yeah.
No.
Only if you get caught, though.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, here in the Midwest.
Vandalism?
Here in the Midwest, many do that with snow to build the perfect penis. So, I mean, it happens. It's all right. I would just say beauty is in the eye of the beholder in that spot, right?
You waking up for the coronation?
For what?
Exactly.
Shay?
No, I'm not waking up for the coronation, Jesse.
What coronation? Prince? What's going on?
You don't need to know.
Okay.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is that what it's for?
No, it's King Charles, apparently.
Oh, yes. Well, listen, that's great. I already wake up every day at 4 o'clock. Do I need to get up for that? No. I don't even want to get up for Cap. Why don't we get up for them? For that situation. All right, brother.
Somebody snuck a sports story here into the Friday folder.
They did what?
They snuck a sports story here into the Friday folder.
How about because you had the suck, and then was the penis story, so I didn't know what you meant.
But. Freudian slip, baby.
Uh-huh.
Dylan Brooks, former Memphis Grizzly, was tweeted at by Woj, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies will not be bringing Dylan Brooks back under any circumstances. I've never seen a tweet like that in sports.
I don't like that.
We must refer to Dylan Brooks as studio gangster.
Yes, studio gangster Dylan Brooks. That is for sure. Comes across tough, but not. I don't like that because it seems like you're blaming him for the underachievement when it's on Ja Morant and it's on the head coach and it's on the team for not being there. No one talks more than the Memphis Grizzlies. No one talks more. They are young and defiant. And Dylan Brooks, even though he says, LeBron's old, he doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm sure that they don't like that, but he's not the reason why they lost.
If I'm Woj tweeted that, right? You said Woj?
Yes. No circumstances.
If I'm Dylan Brooks' agent, I may never talk to Woj again. That is really poisoning the process, right? I mean, he's putting it. He certainly got that from the Grizzlies. Hey, man, we're not bringing up. You can quote me. We're not bringing him back under any circumstances. Then you tweet that out. That poisons every other team.
Don't like that because you make it seem like he's a scapegoat for it, Shay. And that's not. But like, I know that he was the most boisterous. And it's funny when Memphis lost, you couldn't find Dylan Brooks. Couldn't find him. He ducked the media every time.
He got fined for it.
So I just don't like it. All right, Shay.
An estimated 500 pounds of cooked pasta was found dumped near a stream in Old Bridge last week in Old Bridge, New Jersey. A local politically active resident has told New Jersey Advanced Media it's become a local political issue because apparently there's not a bulk garbage pickup. So the 500 pounds of pasta, which included ziti, the article made sure to point out, was just left there for days days.
This should have been a Sopranos episode. I mean, it really should have been. That's great. That is ripped right out of a Hollywood script.
Wow. Yeah, if writers are still writing.
And it was New Jersey, right?
Yes.
Perfect.
Old Bridge,
perfect.
New Jersey.
Yeah, the whole thing is New Jersey.
What's with the ziti?
The baked ziti all dumped. Ziti. I mean, AJ Soprano's losing his mind. All that baked ziti dumped by the stream.
What's with the ziti?
That's unbelievable, man. God, yeah. It makes me want to go back and watch The Sopranos from the beginning.
It's worth it. It's so good.
I know a lot of people that have done that. That's like one of the few series you'll do that on, I think. What series? I thought about doing it for The Wire. I'm like, I can't go that far.
Yeah, I don't want to rewatch The Wire.
But Sopranos, yeah.
Sopranos, I'll rewatch. I'll rewatch Mad Men.
I'm in the middle of rewatching The Wire because it had been such a long, long time.
Right.
So some things I would have missed. The Wire is a top five for me all time.
Awesome.
Out of Baltimore, things I didn't know.
So good.
It became educational, actually. I didn't know a lot.
Bro, of course.
Yeah, so. All right, Shay, what else did we miss?
Last thing here is a man won a women's poker tournament in Florida, stirred a controversy with the victory. David Hughes, and because of a anti-discrimination law in Florida, mm-hmm. anyone can enter these women's tournaments. And this guy, David Hughes, entered the women's tournament and took home the $5,500 jackpot.
Wait, it's a women's tournament, and he won?
Yeah.
Because he's a jag, or?
Yep. Woman who participated, Abby Merck, tweeted, got third in the ladies' event, didn't run well when it mattered, GG to all the ladies. And to the man that won it, don't do that again. There was also a woman contestant who said she put a bounty on his head. She offered a $300 reward to anyone that could knock him out of the game.
Well, that's okay. The bounties are part of the game. But why call it a ladies' tournament if a guy is allowed to win it?
Because apparently anti-discrimination law, they can call it a ladies' tournament, but they can't prevent men from entering.
Well, that's just dumb on both ends. Just don't call it a ladies' tournament then, or just prevent men from entering.
I think you just
probably could do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I just wouldn't. Because I wouldn't want to make myself a spectacle.
I guess not.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what, I mean.
The guy that entered it is probably, yeah, little douchey.
Yeah, no, right? No question. A lot douchey for doing that. That is Friday Fold. Also, the passing of Mike Shannon, longtime St. Louis Cardinal broadcaster, passed away. I was wondering what happened. Where have you been? Because it's been John Rooney's booth in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Mike Shannon passed away.
A few days ago. Yeah, it was a few days ago.
Yep. That's what the folder's for, you know. Things that we don't get to.
No, totally, yeah. Cardinal, he was beloved by Cardinal fans, by no one else, though.
Steve Rankin is 0-1. No balls in a strike. Top of the fourth, here's John.
Pretty good.
That's what he was.
That's pretty good.
Top of the third, here's John.
You all right, buddy? Is that like the jug of three X's right there next to
a hot day here in Busch Stadium? Steve Rankin 0-1.
I mean, he sounded like baseball. Sounded like baseball in the summer.
In the 50s. He did. I think he's been doing it since the 50s. He was doing it since the 50s.
Mike Shannon, get the hell out of my booth for a White Sox winner.
Chip Carey will be in town Monday. He's the new Cardinals announcer.
Good for him. And he probably will retire there. Think about it. Cubs?
Yeah, I think this is it.
Braves?
Right. Following in his dad and grandfather's footsteps.
It's pretty special, actually.
And yeah, I think the Braves kind of like, we'll have you back, but if you want to leave, go ahead. You know.
Yeah. And that's the Friday Folder coming up next. Cap's latest recap. He just can't vacation. He's always got to stick his beak into crap.
Oh, are you going down that Sylvie road?
No.
Okay.
No, oh, no. No. No, I can't get there.
Yeah, don't go there.
No, I can't get there on that level. No, absolutely not. That's a whole different kettle of fish there. Cap's latest recap. We'll talk about it. Cap, it's unbelievable, Watto. That's next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers, Jonathan Hood with you. Time now for the Captain Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Oh, David Blum.
This is the time of year to get over there.
Oh, outside dining, or dine inside and be able to have a great look at downtown Chicago. Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Got to go there downtown. You'll have a wonderful time. Here's our cut of the day with Jay Moore.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Yeah, I'll be in with you on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
There you go.
Courtney Cronin is with us here on the
car. I got out of it.
Jesse acting like this is prison being here. I got out of it. Come on.
I got out of double duty is the point.
That's good.
I got to be at all those Cubs-Cardinals affairs. But I'll be here next Thursday and Friday.
No, it's totally fine for me. I mean, the less of you, the better. Coming up next.
Sound like my wife.
We will.
And that's all, folks.
The Cap'n J Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
We had fun today. We really did.
Of course. Don't we always?
Yes, we do. When you and I get together, it's fun. Remember, next week, I'm bringing you my new book.
Got a new book coming out.
New book. You sold my last book more than I did, that's for sure. Every evening on your show, you sold that book for me, and I appreciate that. Now you got to do it again.
Oh, no question. I got no problem with it as long as you cut me the check this time.
Right, exactly.
That's what friends are for, Jess.
I thought that was the free book was for.
It's unbelievable.
But it's about the Cubs, so I'm not sure if you're going to read it.
Oh, of course I will. If you wrote it, absolutely I'll read it.
Attack the White Sox next.
I know at least half of it will be in English.
Yeah, the Bruce Miles have.
Let us go now to Shay Norling with the latest here. There is a recap done. You know, you would think that David Kaplan on vacation would be actually vacationing. And, of course, there's always something. All right, Shay, what do we have here?
I was browsing my phone, as I do sometimes, and I saw Cap posted an Instagram story. So I had to check it out, of course.
Of course.
And he just can't help himself. This harkens back to when he took the Instagram story at the car crash, reporting live from some car accident. Every time he sees anything, whether he's going up to the priest at the funeral or the car accident, he's got to put it on his recap. So I check his Instagram story, and he's walking by a truck, like a semi-truck, that thought it could get under a bridge, and it couldn't. It got stuck. And he just had to get his phone out and take a video of this poor bastard and comment on it.
I guess people can't read. Look at that. Another one stuck under the bridge. Should have done better in class, buddy.
Well, there's dick-like behavior there. I mean, who does that? There's our hardworking truck drivers, right? And they try to, size it up under these viaducts or some of these bridges where it says 13.3, 14.4, whatever it is, right? And they figure, okay, well, I think I might have at least a few inches to be able to get underneath that tunnel or under that viaduct and get my truck through there. It got stuck. It happens all
it's
the time.
Our core listenership, too.
Yeah.
Those are our P1s.
I mean, so he makes an error in judgment trying to get that truck through the tunnel. And who's there? Cap. Who's there? I mean, it's unbelievable. Why would he do that? Why?
He can't not do a recap.
I mean, it's fine.
He can't not do it.
But how about this? Why don't you be a good citizen, Cap, and just walk yourself over there and help the guy? Hey, I think you got maybe a few more inches. You all right? You need some water? Something, right? No, so, I'm just criticizing.
He's off all next week, too, right?
Yep.
Boy.
Yes, I'm on vacation next
week. I was
about
to say, it's a vacation for him and a vacation for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you see the smile? We're doing fine. It's good. It's good for us to be away from each other.
Oh, I mean, every partnership needs a little break.
Yes, he feels the same way.
Again, just ask my wife.
Yeah, Cap feels the same way about me. So that's why he's going to enjoy himself.
Right, I bet people wonder, oh, do these guys, like, go out every night together? Do they go on vacation? No. You need a break from your partner sometimes.
Yes.
That doesn't happen.
Yes. I mean, instead of filming, why don't you help your neighbor? Help your guy. Like, hey, I'm sorry.
You or I would have for sure.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have filmed it. I know that. Look at that guy. Truck driver's stuck. He's got his whole rig there.
Hoodie, thanks for letting me sit in with you. I appreciate it.
Have a great time in Wrigley. We'll see you with Christopher Russo, Jess Rogers in Chicago.
Between 11 and 12 today.
We thank MLB you Network. For listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Shay and Jay Moore on the other side of the glass. All right, be back with us here on Monday. We'll have a lot of fun as we always do on the Cap'n J Hood Morning Show. So long, everybody, from Chicago.